Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. Today we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and also read and discuss the Word of Life for January. Well, good morning, Bishop, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, YouTuber, and to everyone out there. If we haven't said it already, Happy New Year to everyone.
We thank God for the gift and the blessing of the new year.
Let's hope it brings us the blessing of health and presents fewer challenges.
So as we begin, we will hear this week's gospel. Bishop, if you would please proclaim that for us now.
This is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler, one who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, in preparing for today's program, I decided to look up the word Epiphany in the Catechism, and it said that it is the feast which celebrates the manifestation, the newborn Christ as the Messiah, Son of God, and Savior of the world. The feast celebrates the adoration of the wise men from the east, the Magi, together with his baptism in the Jordan and the wedding feast in Cana.
Yes. Well, this is one of those feasts, of course, that's very much integral to the celebration of Christmas. The Magi, the three kings, as they call them, astrologers from the east, come and follow a star to Bethlehem, or actually to Jerusalem, to find out where he is. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're directed to Bethlehem. And there they find in the humble manger the child who is known to be the king. I think one thing we need to always remember with these different scenarios or stories that surround Christmas, that surround the birth of Jesus, is that they are not just historical, but they are symbolic for the life of the church for all these years and centuries. And so this feast of the Epiphany, as you read to us from the Catechism, is an aspect of our life as church, of evangelization, that the gospel, the truth of Jesus, is meant for all peoples. And so these coming from the east are coming from a land that is not evangelized, you could say, in the time of Jesus, or not part of the the Jewish faith, of course, but really looking for that truth, looking for that light, looking for something more than what we have in our own life. And so this evangelization to the ends of the earth. So the Epiphany in many ways is the manifestation of Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, as the way, the truth, and the life, as the light of the world is manifested to everyone. And so it's a very special feast in that sense, that everyone is invited to come to the manger, come to Jesus, and find meaning for their life and light for their way of life.
As we hear the gospel, the Magi were from the Far East, which you could even say from the ends of the earth, and that's notable because they were non-Jews. Would you say they were looking for something?
Well, everyone is. That is very true. And, you know, I think we all get into our minds that we can get closed in, that this is meant for us. Well, it's meant for everyone. If Jesus is truly God, then God belongs to everyone. And so we have to be, that's why we're being invited at this period in time, and this is nothing new. You know, Pope Francis has really put some solid understanding of what evangelization is, but this has been going on for years, that we need, well, from the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, that it's the word of God, the Savior, Jesus Christ, is meant for every person, enlightens everyone's life. So this is symbolic of that, but it's nothing new. Even what Pope Francis is writing is in a new way and a new encouragement to do that, but especially in my lifetime anyway, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, of course, especially spoke of evangelization in his documents, and John Paul II, of course, and Pope Benedict, all of them have spoken about reaching beyond what we can so often get caught into our world, but that the Jesus belongs to everyone. And we have the duty and the right, but the duty to reach everyone to by the way we live, but also by proclaiming him as Savior for everyone. And this is when Pope Francis speaks of the periphery. We speak in terms of the ends of the earth, but sometimes it's the periphery that's right in front of us. And our duty, and I think really what we're going to be judged on, is did you reach out to your brothers and sisters? Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. Have we really done that? So it's beautiful to celebrate these wonderful liturgies and these feast days within ourselves, as to reinvigorate the gospel in us. But then it also sends us forth out. And so this is a reminder on this Feast of the Epiphany that we too are part of that evangelization of bringing the gospel to everyone.
When the Magi met with King Herod, and of course, he wanted to do something to ensure his own place as king. He didn't want any competition. And so he wanted the Magi to come back to him with detailed information. But they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod and to go home by another way, which is what they did.
When you call yourself king of a certain area and region, you don't want competition in that. Or certainly if somebody else has proclaimed themselves king, you got to take care of that.
Right.
But if we jump ahead through the gospel, when Jesus was before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So the kingdom that Jesus came to bring, to be, is a kingdom that is born in heaven. So of values and of virtues that come from heaven, that to live his kingdom can be done anywhere, in any political situation or any political world. But this kingdom is a kingdom that is rooted in God, that our hearts are set there. And what he wants to bring to us, well, I think really you could say the rule of that kingdom is the Beatitudes. What we find in the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers. To live that kind of a life is to be a part of that kingdom, to build up a presence of Jesus among us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. The king is there. So it's to live an interior life, which also requires time for quiet prayer, to be close to God, close to the message of Jesus, so that we can be part of his kingdom in the midst of whatever system of government or society that we live in.
Such a good message to hear, Bishop, on this first Sunday of January, when so many people talk about New Year's resolutions. And, you know, they say, I want to do this, I want to do that. But making a resolution to do the work that is required to deepen our faith is a resolution worth making. To make an earnest effort to really work on that. And a good place to start is to read, reflect, and understand the Beatitudes.
Well, I think one thing, you're right, and I think one thing we certainly need desperately is peace. And so I think if we just took the Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for this year mm-hmm. as a New Year's resolution, don't forget your weight loss, but add it to that. Keep at it. But add, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Be a peacemaker in your home. Be a peacemaker in your parish. Be a peacemaker in your school. Be a peacemaker in your family. Be a peacemaker everywhere, which means put what Jesus said. We read the Word of Life, which we're going to do in a few moments as well. Bring that to the people that you're with. Be a peacemaker. And my goodness, if we had a year where everyone was focused on that alone, would we not have a better world to live in? And not see everyone who thinks differently than I do as an enemy. If the Magi saw this king afar as an enemy, they would have never gone to him. But we're not enemies. Let's be friends. Let's be children of God together.
It's a wonderful way to start our year. Thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to read and discuss the Word of Life for January as our Shepherd's View continues.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
Awakening 8 is a three-day retreat presented by the Newman Center of Texas A&M University Corpus Christi, which invites all currently enrolled college students of the diocese to this event at the Pax Christi Retreat Center, 4601 Cal Allen Drive, near Five Points. Attendees can experience a life transformation of God and community. Retreat dates are February 9th through 11th. Financial aid is available to help cover the modest fee. For more information, including how and where to register, call 361-813-3899.
Serving well over 150 homeless adults per day, the Mother Teresa Shelter, a day shelter for the homeless and the transitional housing for men, offers rehabilitation as a primary goal. The shelters offer a drug and alcohol-free environment and comprehensive community-based outreach services to help these individuals stabilize their lives. The shelters provide breakfast and lunch, rest, needed clothing, toiletries, a library, lockers, shower and laundry facilities, phone and internet service, to assist with family communications, first aid, and other assistance to help the homeless return to living productive lives. In the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, affectionately called Mother Teresa, do what you can do. To hear more, call the shelter, 361-883-7372.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the Feast of the Epiphany. And here we are with our first Word of Life for the new year.
Yes, it is. So we start afresh. The word is old but ever new. We've heard it before, but it's ever new to our lives as our life changes as time goes on. The Word of Life for January, remain in my love, you will bear much fruit. Every year, Christians belonging to different churches all over the world observe a week of prayer, during which they ask the Father for the gift of unity, according to the wishes of Jesus. He wants this so that the world may believe. Unity changes the world. It creates communion, fraternity, and solidarity. It is fundamentally a gift from God. And for this reason, it is essential to ask the Father for it with persistence and trust. A group that lives the Word of Life in Spain experienced that this is true. For some years now, during the week of prayer for Christian unity, they felt impelled to pray for the grace of unity and to build bridges with other people. And this is a quote. "We contacted the ecumenical officers in the diocese and local church leaders, and we shared our ideas," Margarita wrote. "Then we simply gathered together as Christians to pray, and we used our different church buildings. For example, one day we used the Catholic Church, and another day the Orthodox one. Each time, our churches were filled with joy that comes from God's presence. It is He who opens the way to unity." The religious community in Grandchamp, France, which is dedicated to the work of reconciliation among Christians, has proposed a very suitable phrase taken from the Gospel of John as the light for this journey. "Remain in my love, you will bear much fruit." This is a demanding invitation that asks us to live and work for the unity of Christians, not only during this special time, but also throughout the year, indeed throughout our lives. Our divisions are like a serious wound that needs to be healed, first of all by God's mercy, then by our commitment to know and respect one another, lastly by being together as witnesses to the gospel. Jesus' words show us what we should do. First and foremost, remain in His love. Therefore, we should strengthen our personal relationship with Him by entrusting our lives to Jesus and believing in His mercy. He, in fact, faithfully remains with us always. At the same time, He invites us to be decisive in standing with Him as we offer our lives as a gift to the Father. Jesus suggests that we imitate Him in wholeheartedly meeting the needs of each person with whom we share a small or large part of our day. He asks us to do so with generosity and selflessness in order to bear much fruit. "Remain in my love, you will bear much fruit." The address given by Focolare foundress Chiara Lubich in Geneva in October of 2002, during the events marking the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, resonates strongly. And we quote, "How much love is needed in the world? Jesus said that the world would recognize us as His own, and that through us, by our mutual love and unity, the world would recognize Him. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We have understood this. The present time demands love from each of us. It demands unity, communion, and solidarity. It also calls upon the churches to recompose the unity that has been torn apart for centuries. This is the reform that heaven is asking of us. It is the first and essential step that will lead towards universal fraternity with everyone. In fact, the world will believe if we are united. Jesus said so. "May they be one so that the world may believe." God wants this. May He give us the grace at least to prepare for it, even if we do not see its fulfillment.
Bishop, while you were reading this, I kept hearing a recurring theme of peace and unity, which is perfectly aligned to what you said in the first part of our program about living out the Beatitudes and blessed be the peacemakers. The message of unity and peace is heard throughout this entire Word of Life. Peace and unity.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we have a choice. We either continue to accept the world as it is, and remain divided, or we start to do something with it. I think sometimes we get a little bit emotional, you know, about our territory or our faith. And certainly, you know, as Catholics, we certainly love our faith. We love the Christian faith that we have been given in so many of its aspects. And not that we have to lose any of that. I mean, that's the thing. I think with unity, it's not that we lose anything, but we gain something by reaching out to our brothers and sisters. Who knows what the body of Christ is going to look like in several hundreds of years as unity continues to march on. But what I'm saying is we have to do something, because the more that we as the ones who have the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace as our Lord and God, the more we remain divided among ourselves as the body of Christ. And of course, we know everyone baptized into Christ Jesus is part of the body. But if we leave it like that and we just say, well, we're okay the way we are, you know, you stay on your side of the street and I'll stay on my side of the street, that becomes a point of ridicule for people. We have to be people that can show that reconciliation is possible, that we may be different, we may remain, you know, in our different forms, but we're one body. We're the body of Christ, and we need to work toward that. And that's what this month is about. The ecumenical month of January is for unity, as prayer for unity, that we do something to show that we are interested in coming together as his body to reconcile where possible. There's so many things that are common that we share together as a Christian faith. You know, Jesus Christ himself, our baptism, the scriptures, so much that belongs to us in common. And that's what we need to focus on and not look at what divides us, what is different, church leadership, some of the sacraments. But what do we have in common? That does not mean to water down anything on either side, but to appreciate what each other as different denominations, what each other has as a gift, and to share that insight. I know with the ecumenical meetings that I've been to, I'm just very impressed by the depth of the love for the Word of God that so many others have. The love for the community and the real sense mm-hmm. of fellowship and community that they have. So these are things that in some cases we lose, but we can gain back by interacting and appreciating our brothers and sisters in other Christian denominations. So it's a time for us to reconsider what does it mean to be a member of the body of Christ? What does it mean to be a child of God?
The message of peace and unity is so essential to all of us as children of God. And as we begin the new year facing even more divisions, more polarization, and more challenges, it is a good time to try and work for unity in all that we do. To bring us all together, we must focus on uniting in Christ while respecting our differences.
Those that are followers of Jesus Christ, that we need to start there. We need to start there. Then we can and be more one at that level of our interior spiritual life with Jesus Christ, then we can also do good for our countries and in our world.
Thank you, Bishop. That brings us to the end of our first Our Shepherd's View program for 2024. If you would now close with a prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we begin this new year, we give you thanks for the many graces that we receive daily from your hands. The different difficulties that we may suffer also bring us the light that you are with us always. Bless this new year. Bless all of our efforts to be peacemakers. And may your Son's ultimate prayer that we all be one be more realized, more fulfilled during this coming year. Bless us with peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View. with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
Quinceañera, a wonderful celebration and opportunity for a 15-year-old girl to reflect on the presence of God in her life. It's a time of deepening and anchoring her faith, a time of dialogue with family and Christ, a time to learn to be strong in the surrounding secular world. It's also a time to help her build strong foundations for her future to help her stay on the path to holiness. The Quince One-Day Retreat Prep Course, held at Most Precious Blood Church in Corpus Christi, will address these needs by offering a spiritual and moral formation course to help her achieve the desired goals. To register and get more information on the next Quinceañera Prep Retreat, set for February 3rd, call Tina Villegas, 361-854-3800.
Dancing with celebrities to the music of a live salsa band, tropical drinks, Cuban cuisine, shopping at the Mercado, and loads of fun, laughter, and excitement. It's all part of Noche Cubana Tropical, a night in Old Havana. The annual Spirit Center Celebrity Dinner and Fundraiser, again at Corpus Christi Country Club, Thursday, February 22nd, beginning at 6 p.m., which benefits the Blunzer Spirit Renewal Center, a 501c3 retreat facility owned and operated by the Order of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament. You can be the title sponsor, the Karma Miranda sponsor, the Ricky Ricardo sponsor, or the Chiquita Banana sponsor, or a volunteer. Or get more information and tickets, just call the Spirit Center, 361-888-7537. This event was sold out last year, so now is the time to visit BlunzerSpiritCenter.org and call 361-888-7537.